Well, hello. Good to see you. My name is James. So glad to be with you today. We're going to jump right into our theme verse for this Ripple Effect series. It is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. Grab that outline out of your program or to be on the screen. Or if you're on the app, click over there on notes. And this verse speaks of these ripples that happen when Jesus begins to change someone's life, that it doesn't just start and stop here, but it ripples out from there. And so I want us to read this, Colossians 1, verse 6. Let's read this out loud together. And we do that here in our outside voices, not our church mouse voices. Okay, ready, begin. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. If you're taking old school notes, pen and paper, I invite you to do so. Underline two little phrases, one at the beginning, one at the end. The phrase at the beginning, good news. Underline that little two-word phrase. We're going to talk about that. And then at the end, underlined God's wonderful grace. I got a ring up here. I don't know if it's what do we got? Monitors. There we go. Something up here is a little ringing on me. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's annoying me. Okay. All right. Good news and God's wonderful grace. What is good news? Because Paul says the thing that causes ripple effects, the thing that causes wave after wave after wave, it is, the good news. So what is the good news? The good news is simply this. It's the Jesus story. It's that Jesus showed up saying that anyone and everyone can now get into the kingdom of God. Jesus showed up saying things that sounded crazy to people then and many of us now, going, the kingdom of God is here. Meaning everybody's invited, everybody's welcomed, anybody can get in. You don't have to be born into the right culture or nation. You don't have to follow a set of kind of Jewish religious rituals, that everybody is invited now into God's family. And ultimately through Christ's death on the cross and the atonement and his resurrection, it made it so that everybody could be forgiven and restored back into relationship with God. This is the good news. But the good news doesn't just stop there. That we're loved more than we could ever imagine, and that we're forgiven for more than we could ever do. But the good news is that then we are God's chosen people, invited to play a part in his great story of redemption during our life on earth. So we're not just loved, we're not just forgiven, but and not just in his family, but we are chosen and given a divine purpose to play in his great story. This is the good news. And the good news is that it doesn't cost you anything. You can't earn it. You can't get good enough for it. It is simply compliments of that last little phrase, God's wonderful grace. And so the good news Jesus story, which is another way to say the gospel, it doesn't cost you anything, but it demands everything. You see, for Jesus life to work in our life, it demands that we don't hold on, but we let go. That we don't hold out, but that we fully surrender. And many times I've watched people, in the 20 years I've been a pastor. Somebody like, you've been a pastor for 20 years? Yes, I started when I was 10. Okay? Speaking of lying on your age. But here's what I've watched. I've watched people, step into this life with Jesus and then not experience the fullness that Jesus promised or the joy that they see in the stories of Scripture. And those the people in Scripture, following Jesus, it isn't always, butterflies and rainbows. Like that's not how this thing works. I mean, there are trials, there are struggles, there is sorrow, there are all those things. But there is a joy to following Jesus. There is a freedom that is found in Jesus. And the reason I see a lot of people kind of go, oh, that Jesus thing didn't work for me, and maybe walk away, it wasn't that just the struggle, it was the truth that they never fully surrendered in the first place. But like there was this element of, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but I still kind of want to hold on to this in my life. And there can be this fear sometimes in this relationship with God that somehow if we totally open ourselves and sell out to following him, that somehow we're going to miss out on something in life. That we're going to miss out on some level of success or experience or standard of living. And that is just not true. That fear is not substantiated. In fact, whenever we hold out from God, here's what happens. We ultimately miss out on God's best. That's what happens. You see, a life with God, it is never less than, it is a life with more. And we'll never experience that unless we learn to let go. You see, oftentimes it's this idea of holding on that holds us back. Let me illustrate this by using a coconut. There is a well-known hunting method for monkeys in the jungle that people would use, and it's a coconut like this. And they would hollow out a little part of the coconut, just big enough for the monkey's open hand to be able to go in, and put some sort of bait in the bottom, maybe a little piece of fruit or something the monkey would want to eat. And the monkey would grab onto that, but a closed fist cannot get back through the hole, trapping the monkey. And then on this end, they would do another, you know, two holes, run a rope through it, tie it to a tree, or just put a stake in the ground and tie it to that. And the hunter would leave it and wait for a monkey to come and entrap itself simply by holding on to the prize that it desired so much. And ultimately, even as the hunter would approach and the monkey would know, here comes a human, I am in great danger, the monkey would hold on with even more ferociousness, being trapped, not letting go, even trying harder. And eventually, the monkey would be captive and often lose its life simply because it wouldn't let go. Stupid monkeys. Right? I mean, we're so much more evolved than them. Yeah. You see, the truth is, I think a lot of things in this life trap us because we hold on to them and we don't experience the fullness and the freedom and the kind of life that I think we all want. And here's why, because we're holding on to something, and almost always Jesus' way of living is upside down to the world's way of living. And so when you think you should hold on, almost always Jesus would tell you the path to freedom is found in letting go. You see, for some of you, maybe the thing that is trapping you is some false picture of happiness or success that you've bought into. That's not what God's plan is for your life. And you're holding on to maybe an image of what you're supposed to look like or what you're supposed to be or a standard that you're supposed to live in. And the truth is, everybody else thinks you're happy, but you're not, because you're holding on to something that God never intended for you to hold on to. And the only way that you're ever going to actually be free is if you let that go and say, let me find out who Christ says I am and how he's called me to live. And let me do what he's asked me to do, not what somebody else has put on me. Or something else is put on me. Others of you, the thing that might be holding you back, the thing that you are holding on to, that you just can't let go of, it could be your possessions, it could be money, and you might have a lot of it, but you worry about it all the time. And you don't live in freedom because you've never learned to let go. You've never learned this biblical principle of generosity. That's where freedom is found. Not viewing everything that comes to you as just for you, but you're a conduit of God's blessing to other people around you. Others of you, the thing that might have you trapped, it could be a hurt. It could be something that someone said to you, something that someone did to you, and you're holding on to that as, no, that's my right. like it's my right to hate them because of what they did. But here's the problem. That's turned into bitterness, and it has you captive. And you're unhappy, and you don't have to be. If you would simply learn to let go, and you would learn to forgive and practice what God has done for you, which is forgive you, and you would in turn give that away to somebody else, you'd have the freedom that you really want in your heart. You see, very often in this life, and especially in this Jesus life, you're going to have to learn to let go. And so here's our big idea today that I want to unpack in the rest of our time together. Is go ahead and write this down. Freedom is found when we learn, when we move from holding on to letting go. Ultimate freedom is found when we move from holding on to letting go. Now, I realize this is a really hard idea for us in our culture, because we live in a culture that says not only hold on, but hoard on, right? Like, how much can you accumulate, okay? Our culture is built on materialism and consumerism. We live in a material world, and you are a material girl, okay? Just a little Madonna reference right there. And sadly, there's some of you in this room that are like, who's Madonna? That just means the rest of us are old. That's what that means. But our culture is built on that. I mean, here's the crazy thing. It is actually embarrassing when it comes, if you think of it in terms of world kind of wealth and management. In America, we have a $38 billion industry called storage units. That's what we have. Because we have so much stuff, it's like, I don't even know what to do with all this. Let's just hoard onto it until it's so old and crappy, nobody can even use it, right? And so, I mean, this is what we do in our culture. And so these words of Jesus that we're going to look at, it just seems crazy sometimes. But Jesus says the path to freedom, it is almost never in holding on or holding out. It is almost always in learning to let go. And I want to show you one passage of scripture today. We're going to study one passage of scripture, Luke chapter 9, some words of Jesus. But before we look at them, let me set the stage. Some of you are cheating and reading ahead, okay? Eyes up here. Let's not cheat yet. Let me set the stage, because the words that Jesus says will be even more shocking when you understand what happened before he said these words. Read Luke chapter 9 this week. It's a really exciting chapter in the Bible. It starts with Jesus around the Sea of Galilee, city of Caesarea, and they go outside of the city, and the reputation of Jesus is exploding. He is healing people. The story of Jesus talking about God like nobody ever has, it is getting out, and thousands of people are following him, and on a hillside, he teaches to over 5,000 people this day. Now, nobody was planning on being there that long, but they were so captivated by the words of Jesus, like, you are mine right now, that you had no idea what time it was, right? And so, you know, we're going to be here for like 4 more hours, and you're going to be, no, we're not. But this is what happened to Jesus. They were there until it was dinner time, and all of a sudden, everybody realized, hey, we're all hungry, and the city's way back there, and the disciples tell Jesus, you need to let everybody go. And this, if you're not a Bible or Jesus person, this is a real famous story where Jesus does a miracle. And Jesus is like, hey, before we let everybody go, let's just see what's here. And they managed to collect from one boy 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And Jesus does a miracle, and he creates fish tacos for 5,000 people that day. It's absolutely incredible. And so everybody's fed, everybody knows they were just in the presence. I mean, you know, like, gotta be God. I mean, this is a miracle. And so Jesus, you gotta imagine now, I mean, his popularity is even, I mean, it's higher than it's ever been. And then Jesus says something that if you were his PR manager, you would have said, don't tell him this. Don't say that, because, I mean, Jesus, you're up here right now. And these next words you said are not what people want to hear. But Jesus wanted them to know, and he wanted us to know, what it really means to follow him. And so here's what he actually went on to say later that day to this crowd. Here's what he said. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Now, those are not billboard words that you would use to attract new followers, right? Like, let's be honest. You're not putting that on a billboard to go, who's in for Jesus? Like if you were Jesus' PR manager, you go, Jesus, can we not say that today? Can we just put that in the fine print maybe? Like, hey, sorry you didn't read it, but it's in there. Like Jesus, why would you tell people this? And Jesus wanted them to know, and he wants us to know, that at some point, and really many points in our journey with Jesus, we are going to have to learn how to say no to our own way and say yes to his way. If you read this out of the NIV translation, we just read it out of the NLT, it actually uses the words, instead of give up your own way, it says deny yourself. And that was as unpopular as a message then as it is now, because our culture is all about indulge yourself, right? I mean, if you can dream it, you should do it. If you think it'll make you happy, give it a shot. It doesn't matter how it affects anybody else, because you do you. You do what makes you happy. And so these words of Jesus were as unpopular then as they are now. But Jesus wants to make it abundantly clear what he means. And so he says something in the second half of the first sentence that honestly doesn't mean a lot to us, but it would have made the first century listeners who heard it, they would have made their eyes pop out. Because he said, you're going to have to give up your own way. And then to put an exclamation point on that first sentence, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, the reason that doesn't, you know, make us go, like, what? Is because we wear crosses around our neck. They're on top of buildings and communities, and we put them on walls in our houses as decor. And nothing wrong with any of those things. But to these people, the cross meant something way different. The cross represented death. It represented torturous death. And the Romans would put people on a cross as public execution to say, you go against us, the ones that conquered you and rule you, this is what you will get. And so when Jesus looked at them and said, take up your cross daily, what he was telling them is, if you're going to follow me, daily you're going to have to die, 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 die. Now who's in? I mean, that's what Jesus was saying. It would have gone from fish tacos to, ooh, that doesn't taste as good anymore. Like, that's what happened in this day. Because what Jesus wanted them to know, and what he wants us to know today, is simply this. That there are going to be regular times in your life and mine that what I want and what I desire will come in direct conflict with what God wants and what God desires for me. And in those moments where my wants and desires don't match God's wants and desires, what I need to learn how to do through the power of His Holy Spirit in me is learn how to say no to James Grogan's wants and desires and yes to God's wants and desires. And that's not always easy, and that's not always, you know, like a simple thing to do, but God says, I'm going to give you the power to do that through my Spirit in you. But this is something you're going to have to learn, and there are times that it's going to feel like death. There's times that it's going to feel like, I can't believe, you know, because everything in me says that would be the better way, but Jesus, if you say that's not the better way, then I'm going to choose to trust you. You see, what it's doing is, it's over and over again saying, God, I'm going to put your kingdom and your will above my kingdom and my will. You see, what following Jesus really is, and if you're new, I want to let you know right up front so you can decide whether or not this is for you. Because maybe somebody sold you on fish tacos and didn't give you the fine print, okay? But the Jesus fine print is that following Jesus, I mean, at some point, here's what it really is. It is a full surrender of lordship in our life. What I mean is, there is this radical dethroning of ourselves off the seat of authority in our own life. And there is this enthroning of Christ as King in our life. That's what following Jesus is, and this is what he said. And so he ended this little two-sentence part by the next sentence. He said, hey, and just to be clear, if you try to hold on to something, if you try to save something, you're really going to lose that anyway. What was he saying? Jesus was saying, in a sense, that every time you kind of hold out on God because you think you're going to miss out on something, or you think you deserve something, that you just say, hey, Jesus, no, you can't come over here. This is my relationship. Hey, Jesus, no, this is my money. Jesus, this is my career. Jesus, this is my plans. I like you in all this stuff, but I don't like you in this stuff. Every time you do that to try to preserve or protect or hold on to something that you think is yours, Jesus says, you're only going to lose it anyway. But if you give up your life for my sake, what does he mean? That if you choose to put him first, if you choose to trust him, if you choose to say, your kingdom come, God, your will be done, not mine. He says, you will actually save your life. Everything that you really want, everything that really matters, you will get. And it will be the things that last forever. There is an event that we all go to, not very often, but when we do, these words of Jesus become crystal clear. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, like you're new, you're just checking this thing out, I'm so glad you're here. There's an event that you go to and I go to, and so whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, I think for all of us, it puts us on a level playing field of going, oh, maybe there was something to these words of Jesus. And that event that I'm talking about that makes these words of Jesus kind of get really focused, it's a funeral. When you go to a funeral, when you attend a memorial service, when somebody passes from this life on to the next, we don't sit around and celebrate all the things that they tried to hold on to or that most of us spend all of our life worrying about, right? Like, you don't get up at the end of someone's life and talk about all the temporary things that most of us spent all of our life trying to accumulate. Like, we don't get up at somebody's funeral and go, well, Phil finally made it. Here's a picture of the last house he lived in. Like, he, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, look at how he upgraded throughout of his life. Like, well done. Like, you don't get up and talk about all of their, you know, career accomplishments and hey, he, you know, got this promotion and that one, and she did this and she did that. You don't get up there and say, hey, and he was able to send his kids to private school. Like, all of these things that occupy most of our mind and space all the time, those aren't the things that you talk about at a funeral. The things that you want people to say about you someday and the things that I want people to say about me, they're the things that Jesus says, if you give up your life for my sake, if you learn to let go and fully surrender and live for me, the things that everybody really wants, you will really have, which are love and character and integrity and relationships where your life makes a difference and investments of your time and resources that at the end of your funeral, people are at the end of your life, people are going to say, well, he's not here, but look at what is still happening. The ripple after ripple after ripple because of the way they lived in their office and in their business and the relationships that they changed and the people that they brought into the kingdom of God and the things that they invested into. That's what everybody wants at their funeral. But Jesus says the only way you get that is if you learn to give up your life for my sake. To say all that I am and all that I have, God, it is for you. I want to help us understand this by just giving you one more kind of illustration here, and it's this rope. So imagine with me that this rope goes on and on and on and on forever. All right, there's no rabbit in there. Some of you were like, what's happening next? But imagine with me that this rope just goes on and on and on forever. It doesn't. Eventually, it would run out. But imagine this rope is a timeline of your life. It doesn't just end. And this little green section, this represents your life and my life on earth. The 60, 80, 90, you know, plus if we're lucky, that we get in this body on this planet. And scripture says that, teaches that this is not all there is. And there's something in the human psyche that tells us this is not all there is. That we're not just a life, a self, and then when we take our last breath, poof, you know, like, well, there it is. Scripture teaches that you're not just a self, that you are a living soul. You're a spiritual being. In fact, scripture teaches that you are an unceasing spiritual being with a divine destiny in God's great universe. And so this part of the rope represents your time on earth. And this part of the rope, all the rest of it, millions and millions and millions of years forever, represents the eternity that we will all spend somewhere else. And what's crazy is we live in this culture of deception that tells us that this is all there is. That this is all there is. And we live all of our life and invest all of our resources with only this little bit in mind. This is how we live. I mean, think about it as a culture. What do? We go, man, if I can work really, really hard right here in this section, and save, woo, then I'll be able to live it up in this tiny little moment right here at the end, right? Like, we'll be able to travel. And I'll be able to pay someone to feed me through a straw at the very end right there. I won't have to do it myself, but I'll have enough money to pay somebody. Like this is what we do. Or we live for 30, 40 years of our best years in career, but we're never thinking about this. We don't look at our career as an instrument to make ripples and waves that will last forever. We view it only as, well, this is all about me and it's all for me and what I can do and what I can accomplish and what I can be and what I can be known for. And that's living with this. But what Jesus teaches is that don't forget about all of this. Because how we live here actually affects where and how we will spend all of eternity. Jesus went on to say this in verse 25, the very next verse in Luke chapter 9. I want us to read it out loud together. Here's what Jesus said. Go ahead and bring it up on the screen. Luke 9:25, ready to begin. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? In other words, Jesus was saying, what if you get everything you could have hoped or dreamed of or experienced right here in this little bit? You get it all, but you lose out on all of this. Here's the reality that we all know, whether you're a Jesus person or not. We get one shot at this right here. That's it. One shot. And the older I get, the more real that gets. We get one shot. There are no do-overs in this. There's no let me go back to the beginning. The good news of the gospel, though, is there are start-overs. There is a, even if you're all the way here, you can choose to live differently today and tomorrow than you did in this part. And Jesus promises that how we live here greatly determines how we will live here. And that's what this ripple effect idea is all about. You see, here's a closing evaluation question that I want you to write down and I want us to consider. Will my current choices eventually lead to reward or regret? Go and write that down. Will my current choices eventually lead to reward or regret? In other words, will the way that I'm living, when I take the last breath in this body, because I am not just a self, I am a soul. And Jesus himself, I didn't have time to put it in your notes and everything, but when you read Luke chapter 9, the very next verse in verse 26, Jesus speaks to a moment where all of life as we know it will change for everyone when he returns. And that at that moment, and then, or whether we go see him first, whichever happens, whether Jesus comes here or we go there, at that moment for all of us, there is this moment, and Jesus talked about it over and over again, not just in Luke 9:26, he said it many times, that there is this rewards ceremony, if you will, in heaven. That it's not whether or not you get in at that point, but the rewards ceremony is about everybody is going to be honored for how they lived here and how well we lived here with the rest of the rope in mind. And so I just want you to think about like your life and your choice. Is the way I'm living here now going to produce a reward or regret? How about when it comes to your time? Is the way that you're investing your time? I mean, when we get to this moment and stand before God, are we going to look back and go, I am so glad I watched 8,000 movies here. You know, Gladiator 15 times, totally worth it. All right. I mean, it should have been 20. All right. Because what we do today echoes in all of eternity. That's a Gladiator line, by the way. Not that I've seen that 15 times. It's actually been more like 18. But anyway, am I going to look back and say, like, oh, totally worth it? Are you going to look back and go, oh, all that time where I couldn't invest in my kids and I couldn't volunteer in the community and I never, you know, went on a missions trip to impact the world for Christ, all that extra hours at work, when you stand before God, is that going to be, man, I'm, you know, that was totally worth it. So glad that, you know, I lost that marriage and my kids don't like me, but man, did I accomplish a lot on the job. No, I'm not against movies. I'm not against hard work. If you don't have a movie pass, Jesus wants you to get one. You totally should. It'll change your life. It's amazing. I got one for Christmas. I like movies. I work really hard. But what I'm saying is this message made James Grogan, it made me evaluate my time and go, am I investing myself in what matters most? Because you want to know what lasts after your last breath in this body? Only two things last forever. Two. Want to know what they are? People and the kingdom of God. That's it. That's it. Two things last forever. And so how am I investing my resources and my money? Am I investing things in what will last? People and the kingdom of God. Those are the things that will last. How am I investing my relationships? Is it all just surface? Is it all just fun? Or am I investing relationships intentionally with people who are far from God so I can help them come to know Jesus? Like, am I living with the rest of the rope in mind? I am so grateful to be a part of a church family where honestly across, you know, all nine of our churches, there are thousands of people living with the rest of the rope in mind. Thousands of people living with the rest of the rope in mind. I want to introduce you to just two of them. These are two people from our church down in Chula Vista that are living with the rest of the rope in mind. Watch their story.
My name is Melanie. This is my husband, Aries. We have three beautiful boys. Avery is 6 years old, Landon is 3 years old, and we have Oliver, who is 6 months old.
We moved into the area. We really were looking for a place to go to church together. Mm-hmm. And I think naturally, you know, we came across East Lake. And our first time coming, I mean, that's all it took. Mm-hmm. We've been here since. Well, currently, we're involved with the financial ministry here at church. We just wrapped up a session of Financial Peace University. And so we've been doing that for a number of years. We're involved in couples groups. I'm involved in a men's group. Mel's involved in a women's group.
I feel like we've been learning a lot about just how much we still have left to grow. We've been here for a while, and we've been tithing for quite a while, but just getting comfortable and knowing that there's still more that we can do. I remember that night being at the Cannonball Commitment Night, and I remember Aries and I praying about the amount that we put on that card. It came during a really crucial time period in our lives because I was pregnant, and I knew I was going to be out of work. I was going to be on maternity leave for a few months, and I thought, how is this going to work? And when we signed that card, I remember thinking, okay, God, I know that our income is going to get lower, but our commitment was getting higher. And I remember praying, I remember tearing and crying and just lifting it up to God and knowing that He would provide. And months have passed, I'm back at work, and I think about that short time that I was on leave, and I don't even feel like it really fazed us.
You know, I think you can get to a place where you're comfortable, not just with tithing and your finances, but just in your faith, right? You're doing the same things, being involved in the same type of groups. Growth is about change, right? Not doing the same things over and over again, but trying new things. And in this case, with our finances, was stepping up and giving more.
I'd want to encourage you just to remember that everything that we have is all His, that we're just being good stewards of what He's already blessed us with.
You know, this is something that is much, much bigger than us. We're talking about helping other people grow spiritually and with their relationship with Jesus. I think about the different churches that are going to come out of this, the different pastors, the different leaders, the people who are going to accept Christ in their lives, and how just doing that, making that one decision, can have a ripple effect, and not just in their lives, but in lives of other people for generations to come. I think about that, and I'm pretty in awe that I could be part of something like that.
I mean, Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And for me, I definitely feel by giving to this initiative, my heart has definitely been with God.
You know, let's be a church, which means let's be people who live with the rest of the rope in mind. I want to invite you into this spiritual journey with us. If you're just here this week, I know last week we handed out this Cannonball booklet. I want everybody to go ahead and get this in your hand if you would. And this tells you the story. Don't throw this away, especially if this is your first week and you don't have one of these. Don't recycle it. I want you to hold on to it, and I want you to read through it, because it tells you the story of the journey that we are on as a church. And this moment represents our halftime moment. We're halfway through this two-year journey of saying, God, we want our lives and our resources and our actions to make some waves that last well beyond us. That's what this is about. And I know some of you are like, why are we always talking about this Cannonball stuff? Here's why. Because we are going to be a church that lives with the rest of the rope in mind. We're not just going to live investing in ourselves and making everything about us, but we're going to say, God, we want to take our place in your great kingdom story and be faithful in our moment of history in this church at this time. And so that's what this is about. And so unashamedly, it's like, well, you know, we're going to ask you to make a commitment. If this is your church, if you're a guest and you're just kind of checking this thing out, man, you can go on this journey with us and watch us. And if you're a guest, I'm glad you're here, because you're in a community of people where we take this seriously. Where we're not here, you know, playing church games and checking religious boxes and then, you know, just living our own lives for ourselves the rest of the time. We're saying, God, we want to take our place in your story, and we want our lives to make a difference well after we're not here anymore. And so that's what this is about. So I'm going to ask everybody, grab that booklet and open it up to the last two pages. They look like this. And on the back left, these are our crazy big God-sized goals of things that we are going to accomplish. And I'm going to come back and talk about one of those in just a moment. But here's what we're asking. Everybody, if this is your church, we're going to ask you at the end of the series to make a commitment with us to say, all right, God, I'm in. I want to make some Kingdom of God waves together around here. And so if you look on this side of it, there's three things that we're asking everybody to do. Take one of these three steps. The first one says, join us with a first-time commitment. If you did not make a Cannonball commitment last year, even though you were here, maybe you weren't ready in your faith. You were just checking this out then, but now you would go, man, this is my church. I want to be a part of that. I would invite you to make a one-time commitment. Or maybe you weren't even here last year and you're like, dude, I just started coming, you know, 6 weeks ago. If this is your church and you go, man, I want to be a part of this, we'd invite you to jump in. If you made a two-year commitment a year ago, we're going to be asking you to, number two, finish strong. If you feel like that's still what God wants me to do, man, keep stepping out in faith, keep walking with him. And then the third one, I think there's another group of us that maybe in the last year you've had an increase in faith, maybe an increase in finances. And you would say, you know what, maybe God's asking me to stretch my faith even more and do more and trust him. And maybe you would do that in the last 12 months. And so inside your program, there is a commitment card that looks like this. Here's what we're asking you to do. Do not fill this out this week. Just take these two things and you pray. And if you're a married couple, this is your church, maybe you just want to start talking about it and say, you know, what is it that we're going to do? And here's what we do. If some of you are like, I didn't know you guys were doing this, I think I'll show back up at Easter. All right? Relax. We don't guilt or manipulate anybody into anything around here. Here's what we do. We say, let's all listen to the Holy Spirit and then courageously obey. And if you listen to what God wants you to do and you say yes, and I listen to what God wants me to do and I say yes, we will be able to do everything he invites us to do. And so nobody guilts anybody or manipulates anybody, anything. But unashamedly, as one of your pastors, I'm going to call you to live for the rest of the rope. I'm going to call you to live with the end in mind, not just for today. And that's what this is about. And so take this with you and pray. And then last thing when it comes to Cannonball is this. If you do not have one of these shirts, we want to give you one out on the patio at our Cannonball Hub. Are a bunch of shirts. And if this is your church and you're on this journey with us and you're like, yeah, and you haven't gotten one of these yet, go get one. We have all kinds of sizes. Go up there, tell them the size you wish you were. And they'll get you, or the one you're going to be in by Easter, okay? And they will give you that. I want to pray for all of us. But before I do, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to pray for. I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to you today about an area of your life that maybe you've been holding out or holding on to, thinking somehow you're going to miss out or that God's not going to have your back or whatever. Maybe it's some anger from a hurt. And here's what I want to pray today. I want to pray that today is the moment you choose to let go and that today you choose to trust Jesus a little more. And as you do, you experience the freedom that he promised. So let me pray that for us. God, I thank you that when you invite us into this life with you, we are not invited into a life of less, but it is a life of more. More joy, more love, more peace, more grace, more compassion, more kindness, more generosity. And so God, I pray for everybody in this moment that chooses to let go of something. To let go of a hurt, to let go of bitterness, to let go of an area that maybe they feel like they're trying to wall you off from in their finances or another area of life. God, would we open all of ourselves to you? And as we do this week, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit power to say yes to you over and over and over again and walk in the faith and freedom that you promise? And so God, do that for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.